Thank you. Actually, when I think about the groundwater pollution, the first thing which comes to my mind is the preferential flow, which is basically one of the main contributory factors which carries the contaminants from the upper layers of the soil horizon to the groundwater table. So when you have soil tanks present in the soil horizon, it actually contributes by creating a preferential flow pathway. Soil tanks are the normally are created by the extension of the upper soil horizon into the lower soil horizon. So when you have this, and if you have flow of water going through that, then it's like injecting water into the middle of the lower horizon. Some studies carried out in by DADFA showed that the velocity of water and solutes is directly proportional to the thickness of the horizon. So these things made us think about a way of looking at the how the water flows through the soil tanks. So we developed a small model and tried to simulate using the VS2DI software of USGS. And here we have this a point line source, and we thought that we have a water table at the bottom, and the upper layer we had fine sand, and then lower horizon coarse textured sand, and we created a soil tongue. And to see how the water will flow through this soil tongue, and we found that the water flows through the soil tongue first, then to the rest of the through the rest of the soil profile outside the tongue. So it definitely creates a preferential flow through the soil profile, the soil tongue. So we wanted to test it in the laboratory by creating a soil physical model in order to study the behavior of water at the boundaries of the soil tongue, and also to see how it's going to affect the water movement in the soil profile. So we created the model in a plexiglass container. We had two soil tongues with fine textured sand on top and with coarse textured sand at the bottom, and we had some TDR probes. We had four columns of TDR probes to get the soil moisture data, and then we laid them in this order. These yellow lines show how we have placed the TDR columns. Two of them inside the soil tanks, and two of them outside the soil tanks. And we put water from top, and we started marking the wetting fronts. And you can see that it really, the water flows first through the soil tanks, then it moves slowly from the outside. And we took the distances. We start along these yellow lines. We measured them from the top of the soil surface, and we calculated the linear velocity of the wetting front. And after about 10 hours, we still find that certain areas in the middle are not getting wet, but we find that the water is the water starts to disperse from the soil tanks slowly from the bottom, and then in this area the water comes down from here, and maybe the wetting front expands from the bottom in this area. So when we look at the velocity distribution, velocities, you can see that this red line and the green line are the velocities measured along the center line of the soil tanks. Others are outside, so that they are decreasing slowly than the other ones. So it shows that the, to a certain extent, the velocity within the soil tanks is higher than the velocity outside the tank. And if you look at the relationship with the distance from the surface, that you can see that velocity again reduces rapidly outside the tank, whereas it's reducing slowly within the soil tongue. So those red and green lines are the within the soil tongue. So next thing what we did was we look at the soil moisture content. So at the initial stage we had a water content distribution over the profile from 0.002 to 0.05. So I wouldn't say that it's really 100% accurate, but I would say it's dry because we got the measurements using the TDR probes. And this is how the area which we covered with the TDR columns. So one half of this tongue and the fully this tongue. So if you after about 50 minutes, we could see that the water content is increasing along the slowly had started increasing along the soil tongues, and these vectors shows the direction of the water content gradients. So here we have these low water content areas, and you can see that at the initial stages, the water the tendency is to flow through flow in vertical directions within the soil tongue, but of course there are some other directions. Mainly, I would say it's in the vertical direction. And after about 2 hours, you can still see the vertical direction of movement within the soil tongues, but there is a tendency to move towards these low water content areas. But after about 3 hours or 4 hours, I would say that slowly the direction of the water content gradient is changing. Here we have low water content, here we have high water content. So slowly this direction, the angle of this water content gradient, the direction of the water content gradient and the wall is changing. Maybe it's going from like say vertical to horizontal. But of course the water is not moving in this direction because of this boundary layer. So maybe it's due to the capillarity or barrier created at the boundary due to the two kinds of textures we have. So it's really interesting to know what's actually happening there. So even after about like 20 hours or so 10 hours, we are still finding that now the water content gradient is directly on this in this area it's like horizontal, but you see that this area is not really wetted when you look at the physical model. So that means that we saw that water moved from here and then water moved out from these sides and then it started moving upwards and then this area is not coming. So that we can see that the water is, there are areas where you can have pockets where the water will not flow directly. It may be due to that kind of trapping of air in that area, but other than that, then we have to think about why it's happening. So that that's something we are planning to investigate. And this is after about 3 days. We still have the same condition here, but the soil is wetted, but very low concentration in these areas. So what we think is that the way the water moves out from these areas depends on the one thing is the capillary barrier which is created between these two, and also the angle at which this water content gradient is created with the boundary also affects like the light moving from the into a solid area. Like the when there's a difference in the water conductivity, hydraulic conductivity, you see that there's a bending of the stream, something like that is happening here. So which we really need to investigate, and that's one of the things we are looking at it. So as conclusion, we can say due to the capillarity, the soil tongues facilitate the rapid movement of water within profile, and the angle between the boundary between soil horizon and the direction of the water content gradient may actually be a deciding factor in the amount of lateral movement of water from these soil tanks. So the future directions of the research are, we want to analyze the lateral diffusion of water from the soil tanks across the boundaries to identify the factors affecting the process. So, and we are thinking of analyzing, we have a lot of redistribution data collected, because once we did this this experiment, we let it dry and we collected all this water content data. So now we are trying to look at them to see whether we can find out some patterns of water getting back into the soil tanks or how it is being dispersed. And also to we are planning to analyze the water potential and velocity distributions, because we have the option of inserting some potentiometers into this setup. So we will be inserting them and then looking at how the water potentials are going to change in this system, and then come up with some idea of what's exactly happening around these soil tanks. So I would like to acknowledge my donors, and thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Yep, Tom.
Thanks for an interesting talk. I've seen evidence for an analog to this in a field situation. It happens in the Mojave Desert. We did some field experiments where we found that there'd be highly infiltrable soil, and then just a half meter away or something not so, that doesn't infiltrate as easily, but it soaks up the water. And so I've speculated that this relates very much to the ecology of the plants, that they in an arid system, that they would take advantage of what pockets there are that hold on to water for a long time. So have you considered this in relation to a natural system like that?
Actually, this is only part of my research. In another part, I'm working on preferential flow in a tilled and no-tilled plots. So where we detect certain preferential flow pathways, but unfortunately in the area I was studying, I couldn't find soil tanks. But if I go back to the experiment I mentioned about the DADFA, the one they worked with these soil samples taken from a land where they had a lot of soil tanks. So that's where they found these differential depths of the soil horizon. So it's kind of a thing, but I didn't find exactly something like that in my fields. But this phenomena could be there, because in a lot of areas you see the soil tanks, and there's a difference between the hydraulic conductivity when you have fine sand or the fine soil on top, and then it may be created due to the biological activities, as you said, having the whatever the plants, and then when the roots decay, or then it may be filled mechanically with fine sand or fine soil, creating very high capillary effect. So that's we are expecting.
When you are doing this cultural experiment, did you adjust the soil to the two types of the soil for the same matrix potentials or the same volumetric water content?
We really did not adjust the water potentials. We just under the gravity conditions, we just simulated the water flow as in drip irrigation, but it slowly changes with the water going into the system. We didn't do anything to adjust the potential, so just as it is. We created the soil tanks and then the water.
You know the initial soil moisture content?
Yeah, we know the initial soil moisture content when we started the experiment. And from that, we can work out how the things are.
There was a question in the back. Yes.
I suggest that if you introduce some microbial biofilms into those fingers, you'll see that movement very rapidly. Out of those areas, but it does take those animals, in, bugs to do that. Lipids in there will make that part of the their fragrance.
Yeah, pretty. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
I did have one question. That is, do you think that there's any effect of the boundary conditions from the experiment in terms of the presence of the bottom of your column versus the sidewalls?
Actually, there could be. One thing is that we have a no-flow boundary at both sides, and from the bottom we are actually collecting and removing the water through pipes. But there could be some clogging or slowing down there. But in the initial stages of the experiment, up to about 1 day, I think there won't be that much of effect because the flow rate was very slow, like 10 to the 2 into 10 to the power of minus 4 centimeters per second kind of thing.
So the bottom boundary was open to the atmosphere, but it was not under vacuum?
Not under vacuum.
Okay. There was another question, I think.
Question or comment? The question is, do you think you need a really textural difference? Or you can get the same effect just having structural difference, the way John was saying, that plug will create a difference in soil structure instead of soil texture?
Well, you mean to create the soil tongue effect? Or?
Yeah.
Well, there could be a certain structure where you have macropores and built-in and a kind of network that also can happen. Then you have a network of like this, where you have, and then it forms a shape of a soil tongue, we may think, yeah. That's one way. That also creates preferential flow. But this is another scenario where you have the textural difference, which supports the capillarity.
And the comment is that in the large scale, you have giga. So that's the huge plains in Australia, in Canada, in Russia, which are covered in this type of structures.
Oh, okay.
So you
yeah.
Can just look at them and see what happens there. And it's very interesting, weak movement, exactly the way you're describing.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Yes, Julian.
Do you think that the shape of tongue will have any effect? Like right now, like your tongue is like tongue. Like let's say, for example, it's a rectangle. So what will happen? The same thing?
Yeah, the rectangle, the edges will be different. And it may have a effect. Because, again, if you look at it just straight away, a tongue, the effect of the flow rates will be different maybe. But what's happening at the end, it's different when you have it like a parabolic shape or a curve shape, and when it's a rectangle, right? The from where it's going dispersing into the next layer, there will be, and that's something we really need to study the effect of different shapes of the soil tongue. That's another thing we are thinking, but it didn't come under the scope of this research.
Any more questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much.